Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Know how it goes, shout out OCT. No real cap, call out what we see. Whole game ready, ball of blitz on three. No, you can't stand on it on 2 feet. I already know you can't ball with me. Cause you have it up with the squad and me. They get a letter, they calling me. Ball alert. Ball alert. Ball alert. Ball alert.
Ball alert. Welcome to the Ball Alert Show podcast, available everywhere you get your podcast. Please continue to like, subscribe, and share our YouTube page at Baller Alert TV. One time for the A3C weekend. We killed that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I go by the name of Ferrari Simmons.
I go by the name, you know, BT.
OCT, what at?
Hitmaker in the building.
Hey!
We got Snap with us, bro. We do snaps. What's up, sir?
Coolin', bro.
Oh man, I appreciate
he got it cold in here.
Nah, funny thing about Hitmaker, we was in the group chat. We was like, "Hey man, are you coming? Are you coming? Are you coming?" He was like, "Bro, I'm not like that. We just want to stay on wax."
He was respected though, and he's on time, very punctual.
Yeah. You have no idea the stuff we have to pull off to get people to show up on time.
A lot of people don't know. Like, it's crazy because like I walk like through fine lines. Like I'm an artist still because I'm putting out my producer album Top of the Year. But I'm an executive as well, you know what I'm saying? I got joint ventures and like I got artists, like a publishing company. I got different writers, so I gotta be on my shit, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like what I do kind of is a domino effect that I affect so many different lives. So I kind of like to be punctual, you know what I'm saying, and be on time. If I did came late, it probably showed up with some rosé or something like that for y'all, some bottles or something, like trying to like smooth it over. But
and you know, a lot of times it shows the difference between seasoned vets and then the new artists, because new artists are always trying to get their diva on, but you know, the seasoned vets be like, I gotta get this work done.
I kind of think because we kind of just artists that are bigger artists and people that have been in the game a season, you really like, once you in the motion of it, it's like, okay, this shit a job, you know what I'm saying? I think that the only time it ain't a job for me is when I'm in the studio, which I'm in the studio 24/7, because it's like I be scared, like, man, like, if I leave now, you know, it might be 2 a.m., but and I might be lit, and be like, man, but if I leave 4 a.m., the craziest idea might happen or something, or somebody might be working or outworking me. I pray to be, like, Pharrell or one of these niggas, like, yo, Pharrell to go to studio at 3 and leave at 10. If it don't happen between 3 and 10, fuck it.
For real?
Yeah, because he got family, kids, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Shit like that. I respect that lifestyle. Like, people really treating this shit like a job, for real.
Well, this should be a fun show because, you know, I like you because you are, like, unfiltered and you speak your mind and you speak your truth, and I respect that a lot. So, we're going to just run
the show.
Yeah,
you're going to host the show with us, okay? Is that cool?
Say less.
And we're going to get in your business a little bit.
Ball alert.
Just in case you missed it.
All right, in case you missed it, Tamar Braxton and her, the contestant from Queen's Court, JR, they have broken up.
Being a lawyer and going on TV and all that, you know, the reality show, I always wonder, like, how did that, like, work out for him?
Who that? That's the white dude?
Yeah,
the white guy.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't they just together on Instagram no reason?
They had a whole YouTube and everything. They had, like, show, and they was doing their thing, and, you know, this is like a surprise.
Not just, to me, man. I love Tamar.
Yeah, just, hey, Tamar, just stay single for a little bit, man. Just, you know.
Keep it P.
Every woman doesn't just want to be single.
She could be single with friends.
But he said, what? I don't understand why he put out a statement that's saying he broke up with her.
Hey, he just wanted to put it out
and
there.
And he said that it wasn't for fame.
Why make a statement?
Maybe he had to.
Man, you can't say you don't want to be famous and you do everything famous people do.
I think it's probably like PR or something like behind that situation or motivating that. Like as a man, like I ain't really like in a rush to like go to no internet and tell, like, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm no longer, you know what I'm saying? Like
I'm single, guys.
Yeah.
They just let it fizzle out. But they were engaged. So I think maybe why he wanted to say something.
Maybe he's dating somebody else and had to put that out there just for, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
Because they got together on The Queen's Court, which is a TV show. When she was looking for love and, you know, he proposed to her on the show.
Tamar, start looking for love.
How you going to tell her that?
Let it come find you, baby. Just let it come to you.
That's what she did.
Y'all been around Tamar like that?
No.
No, I know you have. You worked with her before.
Yeah, she mad cool. Like, I think that y'all really a fuck with her. Like, she's super solid.
Tamar, come on the show, man.
Come on the show, Tamar.
I think she will, man. Tamar, come on the show.
Another one looking for love, but not black love, is Terrell Owens. He was on Live with Ocho Cinco. He was telling about his experience with black women and how it wasn't good.
My experiences with black women growing up wasn't so good. When I started dating white girls, my first experience with white girls is when I went to college. I tried to date some black girls when I was in college. They did not like me. I was skinny. I was strong.
Right.
I was teased from high school, even college. I got teased for being dark skinned.
Now, when you started dating these other types of women, was the check involved? Did you start getting the check, and then these were who accepted you at that particular moment? I don't have enough context.
Well, he said he was in college, right? So if you're in college and he went to the NFL, I'm pretty sure he was probably pretty damn good in college, being an athlete, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that it's an obvious reason why he was chose by a particular women.
What college did he go to? Yeah. That's key.
I think Terrell Owens went to Middle Tennessee State. I don't have my phone.
So was that predominantly white or predominantly black college?
Check that. I know he didn't go to I know Terrell Owens didn't go to a big school.
He didn't go to HBCU.
To me, it would be like news to me if like he went to a HBCU or whatever and then was like, nah, I'm just only dealt with white girls. You know what I'm saying? Like then it'd have been like, all right, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
I agree with you on that.
We stereotypically like that just
maybe that's his preference.
Go. Yeah. And I think you allowed
people
to
have a problem, like, especially online with preferences because you
colorism.
Know colorism. You have had like controversy with your preference online and people have said,
see, that's cap though. See, look, a lot of people, they keep dialing back in to the old me. You gotta re-meet me. Like I grew up in this whole industry. Like I grew up when Worldstar came out, the funny jokes or things that I said or things that I was doing, they like right now I would never say none of that lame shit or whatever. It was lame. I grew up in front of the camera, so I take accountability for who I was. But we talking about situations that are, that was in 2007. That's 15 years ago. You know what I'm saying? 16 years ago. I'm not the same person I was then. And, you know, I can't really, you know, get that out of people's mind. But I think that when you're in this limelight, it don't matter what you do. It's just like similar to people grabbing old tweets from 2005 such and such or Kevin Hart and the Oscar stand. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, you gotta re-meet me. I'm not that same nigga no more. And like, I take full accountability for what was said and let the record show that that's not really the case of whatever it was or what was said. I don't even like to speak on that. You know what I'm saying?
No facts. And you know, the unfortunate part is you grew up in the limelight, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And people don't forget as easily, especially the women who were hurt by it. They right. like, I remember, you know, and right. it's like, you can't move on. It's hard to move on from that.
If you really think about it, if you was a normal person, people not talking about what you did in middle school.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But you know, when you famous and you become bigger and bigger
under a microscope,
people try to bring you back down. Like, hey, I know you up there, but let me bring you back down here. You know, so I feel like that's just kind of how the internet is.
It's cool though. Like, people gotta remember, I'm in my 30s now. Like, I was literally like 20. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When those things happened, 19, 20 or whatever, and I made mistakes, you know. And
I'm glad I wasn't famous.
Man, I was thinking the same.
I was a bad person.
I was thinking the same thing.
I was a very bad person. I was very ignorant in my 20s.
Almost a 2 decades. Well, actually, my career is over 2 decades because I was signed to DMX first when I was Iceberg first. But like, if you could be in this game 20 plus years and still be successful and just have, you know what I'm saying, a good vibe going on, man. I ain't gonna lie, like, whatever happened, like I said, I wouldn't change it, you know, but I learned from a lot of different mistakes, and it's just bringing another level of clarity to where I'm moving forward to.
Facts. Speaking of bringing up old stuff, there was a resurfaced clip of Kanye West from 2018 on a phone call saying that Cardi B is an industry plant.
That's why fucking Cardi B was over there. Cardi B is a plant by the Illuminati. She don't write her raps. She just there to like sound as ignorant as possible and just and then make songs like fuck him and then get some money.
Yeah.
You know, she was literally replaced, you know, Nicki Minaj purposely, that they put her there.
I personally hate stuff like that happening because it's so hard and sometimes it's really taken out of context. Like, I really wish that we heard the entire conversation of that. Well, I saw the clip. Well,
what I don't like is the fact that we've all said things about people that we don't know, right?
Yeah.
So he could have said that and actually met her and went to the studio
and
with her.
Different opinion
and been
now.
Like, oh, shit, she actually does this. She actually does that. She's okay, dope. She's actually a dope-ass
like
person.
What you said with about Tamar.
Yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
I mean, the truth of the matter is that us as a culture and a generation, we just migrate towards negativity faster than positive shit.
Yeah.
So if you look at it, when they put the clips out, even though they've been like dissected and turned into smaller clips of what you don't understand what he's saying, it's still from 2018. Kanye just did a record. He was just on Cardi B's single with Lil Durk called Hot Shit.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly something happened in between 2018 to right now for them to get over that. But people will prefer to go and dial into that and be like, all right, he's a fuck nigga, da 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 da. But people got to stop really caring about like the internet for real, for real. And clearly they don't, because Cardi, I think she put out something that was just like a heart emoji.
Yeah,
with Kanye.
And she put, because he was bigging her up for the hot record.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, God bless.
And shout out to Cardi, man. That was a good way to respond to some negative-ish, man.
Do you think there are industry plants?
What does that mean, though, to y'all? Like, what's your
definition? Well, industry plant, I'm going to say what I've seen on the internet, an industry plant is somebody that is put in this industry that gets a bunch of writers and producers, and they have all these people.
Everybody's an industry plant then.
I would say the industry plant is someone who doesn't respect the culture, but that was put there to culture vulture.
Culture vulture.
Yeah.
Okay. See, that's two different perspectives.
That's just
talking
my
about from the creative industry. You know plant. What I'm saying? The making of the song. Everybody collaborates. So, like, I don't want people to get that twisted up. Like, collaboration is key. So, if you think about it, like, Quincy Jones in the studio with Michael Jackson, Rod Temperton, this is back when they had full bands making the beats. It wasn't no laptop and Fruity Loops. And it was probably like 20, 30 niggas to walk through that studio on one day to make one thing, to make Off the Wall or anything that we vibing to now. I think it's just a stigma with rap that it's like, they want it to be autobiographical from you so they can connect to you instead of connecting to the story that you putting out there. So that's kind of like where it get jaded. But I think everybody collaborates on the industry plant. Like, to me, an industry plant is just like, it's just a fucked up way to be like, man, like, you really, like, you won. You know what I'm saying? Like, because a lot of these, is Lil Nas X an industry plant?
I don't think so.
He's talented. You know what I'm saying? You don't know his story. You don't know his struggle or what he went through to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But when people start seeing you come out of nowhere and then you got the right marketing, promotion, and good budget behind you, and you got a hit record and everywhere, and you MTV Awards, VMA, Grammy, bop, 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 bop. They say they did the same shit to Macklemore. They did the same shit to all these different niggas. So, I mean, it's just, niggas just got, just be like, man, don't say industry plant, like, man, you got a big marketing budget, bro. Like,
I think an industry plant is somebody like Milli Vanilli. Like, the producers wanted a record, but they weren't as, you know, appealing to the eye enough to sell records. So they got these good looking guys to just mouth, you know, the words.
That's lip syncing, yeah.
The producers and people who could not, you know, sell the records get the money, but the people who are actually doing it, they're not receiving anything. And then they got exposed on a performance.
Man, that was
crazy. You know, a fun fact about that, that Kevin Lyles wrote Girl You Know It's True.
Wow.
Vanilli.
Girl You Know It's True.
Kevin Lyles, shout out to Kevin Lyles.
So he didn't feel like he was, you know, he could go out there and do it himself?
I don't know.
All right, let's move on to Love Versus Money.
It's Love Versus Money on the Baller Alert Show.
All right, so I'm going to give a couple, and you let me know if they're there for the love or is it just business. Today we have Joy Chavez and Trevon Diggs.
Well, Joy just tattooed his name.
Mm-hmm.
On her, was it her back?
Yep, yep. On
her spine?
Middle of her back, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So he can have a view of that thing. Okay. I definitely think that this is a potential love. I don't want to say love, but, you know, I don't think that this is for the money. I don't think this is for the money because from the outside looking in, I think it's potentially love.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's love. I think it's love, you know. I feel like they've been together for some time now. And, you know, that tattoo is, that's love.
Mm-hmm. That's on the spine?
That is love. That is L-O-V-E. That's love.
L-O-V-E. You think so? I got mad girls' names tattooed on.
Okay, really? Now hit Mega Wing. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
wow. How many girls you got on you?
Probably like five.
They still
wow.
there?
Yeah.
Damn.
It's a I know part a guy. Of my life. It's a chapter. It happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, unless I tell you, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to know what it really is or whatever. But initials. Got a girl, girl named Tattoo, but she was part of my crew, the girl that's in the business, Cash or whatever. She
oh, yeah.
Tattooed uh-huh. me and everything. I got, but I feel lame to cover it up. It's just like it was a moment that happened in my life and moved on, you know, and you continue to just create history. That's like when Baby fell out. Remember, because I really got this from Baby. Remember how them niggas had like all the hot boys' names mm-hmm. tattooed on each other, yeah, whatever? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, if I do like an ex do it, like, nah, fuck this nigga. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of felt weird. So I just left.
Wait, were you drunk when you got those tattoos?
I ain't gonna lie, this was so long ago. I was probably like on ecstasy and all type of shit.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Nah, but you know, what does that mean though? Is it like a great gift to give somebody? Like, if I tattoo on my body?
Some people take it differently too.
Yeah, it's kind of like what perspective you coming from. Like, I think that certain relationships or whatever is like validating, like, I'm yours or you're mine or this type of situation. But for me, it was just out of love. Like, we was a crew. So, speaking on that particular tattoo, but
yeah.
I mean, the other ones, it was just like spur of the moment. Like, that used to be like my first date, like back in the day, like, oh, let's go get tatted or let's have a tattoo man come through the house or whatever and turn into that.
Now is
that's some rapper shit for real.
That is
some rapper shit.
Now is Tink on? Did she make one of the tattoos?
Nah.
Okay. Because y'all made Love Versus Money a couple episodes ago. Tink and Hitmaker.
Oh man.
You know, Tink recently said he eats her ass.
He eats my ass from the rooter to the tooter. You know.
Well. If you eating ass, that's got to be, well, I don't know. So,
and they've been on the low for a minute.
I've been silent about our relationship. I've been silent about us fucking.
They was in a relationship and they broke up because it was some, you know, hands getting put on somebody allegedly.
She definitely put her hands on me.
You don't want to say it, I'm going to say it. And I know this is rare for me to say this.
Say it.
I think that it's love.
I definitely don't think it's for money.
This man has really been manipulating my situation. And I won't bash him because we make great music. But I finally understand that it isn't love. It's more so money.
Damn.
I'm not going to talk too crazy about it because I still got love and respect. But no, it wasn't a money thing. Like, I think that we were working together and we had did 3 albums, right? And we were in the process of like restructuring our business, how we did business together, because I was executive producing the projects or whatever. So we had decided to do something with the business. And to be perfectly honest, it just didn't go out that way. She decided to go a different direction. So when that happened, I kind of like fell back from the situation because I don't know, like I worked a lot and I just didn't want to be in a position where like I felt like we weren't in sync, but I felt like we could coexist and still create and do whatever we wanted to do. So I just fell back and that was pretty much it.
So she wanted to work with other producers maybe?
Nah. So in reality, the situation that happened with that is that once we decided that we weren't going to do business together on a broader scale, then I fell back and then she decided and she came back and was like, you know what? I was wrong. I do want to work with you. And then we did an agreement for us to work together.
Okay.
And we worked together like in early August or whatever. And that was like the first time that we were like really like speaking together or collaborating or doing anything together from like maybe March. Like we probably ain't spoke to each other like from March to August. So that's when we like kind of collectively came back together. We did 20 songs in like 7 days.
Do you guys think that, or do you feel like there's something still there, or that's completely done? That chapter's closed
on a relationship level.
Yeah,
to me, I just think like when certain lines get crossed, like I just kind of like, I think it's best that we go our separate ways or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we had already went our separate ways. Like we weren't dating, you know, when that shit hit the headlines or whatever, we weren't dating. Like we weren't speaking. Like I told y'all, like we weren't having any type of dialogue at all from March into August. And then they came back to the table through her management, her team or whatever, and said that we wanted to work again. And we decided to work again. And it went well, you know.
But she obviously had some feelings towards it, because if she got mad that you were at a restaurant and didn't speak to her, you know, it's kind of like, you know, she kind of felt a certain type of way. Like emotions were still involved.
It's always going to be like that. You know, like me and her, we did so many monumental things together. That's a part of like a huge, like a chapter in her life and a chapter in my life, that like it's 3 years of us working together, you know, and just going crazy. So I kind of feel like maybe that could have been there. And me being an older guy, like I'm almost 10 years older than Ting. I'm like 9 years older than her. She's 27. I'm 37. So it's kind of like, it's a difference, a balance. Like, so when certain things happen with me, like she might not have seen it through my perspective, through my POV. And I stepped back a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Just to kind of like understand what was going on. And, you know, I mean, I can't speak for what her feelings was, you know, clearly it was some type of feeling to the situation, but at that point, like, I didn't even, you know, I was already, like, moving in a different direction.
And I know you was probably kind of hurt that she went to the internet and said a lot of things.
I wasn't necessarily hurt. I was just more embarrassed for her and for me at the same time. You know, because for me, like, I was embarrassed for her first, because it's like, I never seen, like, she not, like, I never wanted that, at least any type of scandalous type shit, you know what I'm saying, on the internet to involve me in it. Like, we would sit and talk about situations like that or whatever and just be like, damn, like, that's crazy. Like, we would see that. But it was unfortunate for me. I mean, shit, we just got through talking. I'm still Iceberg, Youngberg, Hitmaker. Like, I'm kind of like, it's like
y'all
another
kept
day
it low fucking, for a long time.
Yeah. A lot of people didn't know y'all dated until that situation.
I think she just probably made an impulsive, you know what I'm saying, decision that. And unfortunately, you can't take back those situations in real time once they really happen. And I'm just not like an internet nigga at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm going to come and be on the internet, I'm going to come and talk my piece or speak. And if anybody look at my Instagram, it's just literally accomplishments or me working in the studio.
Just
type
a bunch
shit,
of platinum records.
Yeah, I sold like over 150 million records. Like,
talk that talk.
Like, it's not even like a thing, you know? So it was definitely love. Going back to the concept of the whole thing, it was love. It wasn't the money situation, you know, like, and I still
love
got mad
too.
Love. Yeah, of course. I still got mad love and respect for her. You know what I'm saying? And the real thing is, like, a lot of people got to dial into this. When you say you love somebody, if y'all don't end out in like a super bad situation, you know what I'm saying? Like, because this situation was this situation. It wasn't the greatest. You know, I would have preferred it went another way. But, man, like, I'm going to want to be happy, and I still love her, and I want her to be the most successful she can be. And I still love her. She being with someone else or whatever, you know, like, I really got genuine love. Like, I look at her like family. So it's just unfortunate that she let the internet into our business, you know, at that moment.
Dang, man, I thought this was going to last, man. Like, the Chicago connection, man, I thought this was going to be it.
I mean, you know, I'm not the same person I was when we initially started working together and vibing together, and she's not the same person. And what I'm man enough to say is that, man, like, in reality, what I learned when dealing with her is that, like, we both, like, put each other, like, we've been through so many trials and tribulations that we put each other first. You know what I'm saying? I put myself first and she put herself first. Mm. So, like, let's not, you know what I'm saying, crash out behind it. Let's keep being successful and, you know what I'm saying, understand, like, the thought process between both of us. Like, man, like, we just ended to win it.
Do you ever see yourself getting married?
I don't know. Like, a lot of people want me to, like, you know what I'm saying?
You're not a marriage guy?
Are you in a
relationship? I'm not a relationship guy.
Okay. Because you like a ladies' man. You got a lot of ladies, it seems.
Are you in a relationship or?
Now? No. Yeah. I don't believe in having just, like, one woman. Like, but I'm open and I'm honest up front about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I can't only be with one woman, but I just want to be, like, transparent of what the reality of my lifestyle and what I got going on. Because a lot of times when I start these relationships with women, we're friends first. So, and we don't even know each other, and you just told me I was a ladies' man and this, that, and the third. So you kind of know the nigga you going to talk to or whatever before you go put your fucking, like, you already got your foot in the pool halfway.
I'm just,
you
know, saying, what I'm from saying? Your public track record, it looks like you, like, you the ladies' man. It just seems that
women.
Way.
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. Very much so.
What do the women say when you put that out there to them? Are they okay with that? And then they find out they're really not?
I don't think that it's more so like, okay with it. I'm just into being like best friends and building situations with people, you know? And then at the age I am, of course, I don't have no kids. I don't have nothing. So I'm going to take it there, you know what I'm saying, at some point eventually. But at the same token, it's more so, I don't know. I'm just in love with my career right now, honestly.
We'll be right back with more of the Baller Alert Show.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
You're listening to a special edition of the Baller Alert Show.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Hitmaker in the building, man. They want to know who do the tag and shit. Hitmaker! Ball Alert.
Back with more of the Baller Alert Show. We got Hitmaker in the building.
Yeah.
You have so many accomplishments, and you have done so much that we know, but just for the audience, can you just explain a little bit of your background? We know you're from Chicago. Yeah. You was privileged.
Yeah.
Were you raised in the suburbs?
My early life, like, up until like sixth grade, I was probably in the burbs or whatever, but okay. I moved to the east side with my father on 81st and Ellis. I went to school right over there, and then from there I transitioned and went kind of like to Foster Park, into that area, and I lived there with my father all the way up until I left Chicago and kind of went to LA. And I got my first start in LA, my first song, Sexy Lady. I ain't gonna like
so that lie. Was your first big record?
Well, he was Iceberg first.
Yeah, I was with DMX.
I really want you to talk about that real quick, because okay, that's cool. Kind of like untapped. Uh-huh. How did the DMX situation happen?
So,
and how old were you?
So I was probably like 13, 14, and always been into music. Excuse me. And I went, and I had a bunch of guys that were street guys that was in Chicago that really invested the money behind us, and I ended up meeting my mentor, Boogs. And Boogs is the guy that kind of like under No ID, best friends with Kanye West, all these different people, and had these different relationships and kind of like formed and turned me into a producer. So at that point, the street dudes, this back in the day, like, they had connections and they had money. So I had a bid war going crazy. Like, Jay-Z wanted to sign me, every label. I think it was like 12 different labels. And I just went from previously asking my father to purchase me Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood, DMX CD for Christmas. And DMX was like the biggest shit in the world to me. Like, Jay-Z's my favorite rapper, but DMX at that point was just bar none, the guy. And we ended up meeting at What These Bitches Want from a Nigga video. And we was in LA, and like, he had his trailer, and I never forget when I first met him or whatever, like, they rushed me up to him, like, yo, like, I was like 4'4" or some shit like that back then. I was like a little bitty nigga. And they was like, yo, meet Iceberg and fucking
He like, shorty, I'm gonna go smoke this weed real quick. And he got like two girls with him or whatever. Like, I'm gonna go handle this and smoke this and I'll come back and see you. Went and smoked that shit. They sent me on the trailer and I was just like, it was like rap. Cause this back in the day, it's like, it's weird now. Like, you gotta have so much social media presence.
This, that, and the third. Yeah, radio, like, it's so, like, DJs playing.
Nigga was just like, rap. Like, just rap. Like, I'm like, you wanna hear my demo? No, rap. So,
well, they want the raw talent, yeah, opposed to today where it's already made.
So I kind of like, I spit like a fast tongue twister, like Twister, like West Side Chicago. I stick on up in the fin with this and smoke up. And he was like, yo, shorty, I don't know what the fuck you talking about. Slow down, say something different. So I said like a slower rap that was like 40 bars. And he was like, yo, I'm going to sign you. Like, nigga ain't even listen to my demo. Like, nigga just right there. Like, yo.
On the spot?
On a trailer. Everybody goes crazy. I'm a young kid. I had more bricks than motherfucking Pablo Escobar in my raps. So I was just the wildest young nigga and just going crazy with a bunch of street niggas. And they was just like, yo, I'm going to sign you. And he was like, on the spot. So at that point, shit, that was my journey with DMX. From right there, I came back to the video shoot the next day. And fucking Kevin Lyles was, I was sitting there and I was smoking a blunt. And Kevin Lyles was like, man, your life about to change. And they was playing my demo out DMX trailer, like wanking that shit, going crazy and blasting it. And that was the start of my career with him.
Where did the name Iceberg come from?
I used to wear a hell of Iceberg clothes. Like, I got that shit tatted on me still.
That was your favorite clothing line.
Yeah, like, that was the balling shit. That was like the fucking chrome hearts of this era right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was very expensive.
When did you change it to Young Bird?
Eve changed my name to Young Berg. So like this back in like the
Eve the rapper from Rough Riders.
Yeah. My first songwriting placement ever. Like, she was like a super mentor to me. And like, I used to live at, like, man, I used to be around Eve everywhere. Troy Carter, Jay Irvin, all these different guys or whatever. They used to manage her. And my first writing placement was Eve. I did Evolution. It was the title track of her last album that she dropped or whatever on Rough Riders or whatever. And I wrote the hook, and I'm actually got vocals still on the record. But you know, this back in the day when niggas was like popping 10, like, you know how Dame Dash got there? She was like, Birkington, or she was like, Young Birkington, da da da. And she called me Young Berg, and that's how it happened.
A lot of women have had, you know, great hands in your career. Yeah. Can you talk about what Nicki Minaj did for you?
Man, I ain't gonna lie. Like, Nicki kind of like came in and changed my life and kind of restructured the whole shit. So like, I'm real big into manifesting things, you know, like going into the studio, making a record, doing something or whatever. So I went to the studio. I just signed my first publishing deal with APG, or second publishing deal. And Mike Caron had me in a studio. And I went in there and I did a reference and I did a hook on this track and I named it Nicki and Hitmaker. And I went and pulled up on my bro one day at a studio. And the very next day, I went and put up on my guy Sounds. Shout out to Sounds. He was working in the studio. He had the high hand. He was going crazy. And then my bro Doc was like, yo, I just seen Nicki Minaj. She in the other room. And I'm like, for real? I'm like, yo, go tell her I want to holler at her. He said, he went over there, talked to her security. They're like, we going to come back and get you in 20 minutes. And then shit, they came back and got me in 20 minutes. And I went in there, I just pressed play on a record I did the previous night, bunch of other shit. She was fucking with it. And that allowed me to do like four or five records. I think it was four or five records on that Pink Print album.
Oh, wow.
And shit, she really just gave me her studio. Like, the best thing she ever did for me, like, was just give me free reign to be creative. Like, she was just like, yo, whether I'm here or I'm not here, just pull up every day. Like, pull up, you got new shit. Let's just vibe out. And she kind of put me in position to where, like, people were like, what the fuck is Young Berg doing in Nicki's studio with Nicki Minaj? And, like, she would take me to.
How old are you at this time?
I'm old. Now, this right before Love and Hip Hop.
Okay, like, okay.
This,
okay,
this
okay.
is at the brink.
Yeah, this is like 2012 or something like that. Okay, whatever, okay. Pink Print came out. This is like 13. Okay. This is like one of them moments to where, like, even the records that I did, like, I feel like I did like classic Nicki Minaj record. I did Favorite with her and Jeremiah. I still see girls quoting, damn, you a lucky nigga if my mean ass like you, and all these different that. Records or whatever. Like, I did a lot of great work with her on that project, and I'm really proud of that.
On BT?
How was Nicki as a person?
To me, it was all gracious. It was all beautiful. You know what I'm saying? Like, she ain't do nothing but show me love. I mean, I'm sure that it's politics to whatever situation that go on, but like, me personally, like, nah, it wasn't never like nothing crazy. Like, it's weird. Like, we had like a brother sister relationship, so I wouldn't compare
my relationship to somebody that she worked with, because like I was really there, like I was really mm-hmm. with her every day, like we were really like sharing real experiences or whatever, and like it kind of like opened my eyes. It was kind of like boot camp for me as like a songwriter producer type shit for it.
But you had your own hits at this time too, because you had mm-hmm. Sexy Can I, mm-hmm. Sexy Lady,
Sexy
The Business
Lady.
Yeah. You had success of your own. What was that ride like when you started, you know, cranking out those hits?
Damn, the crazy thing is, like, Sexy Lady, like, I used to go in a club. It was a club called, I keep forgetting the name of this shit, but shout out to my dog, TK. He helps a lot of people sell their catalogs and shit right now. He was the club promoter. I used to go in there like a chinchilla, like every night, and perform that shit or whatever. Like, in LA. It's hot as hell, you know what I'm saying? But like, I wanted people to see me, and my manager at the time was another club promoter for the club. So like, we would go to La Ralph's and get like bottles of liquor or whatever, and he would sneak them in the back and bring them out. Like, yeah. We was motherfucking buying bottles and shit. And DJ Echo was the main DJ at Power 106 at the time, and they would spin my shit. And then from there, I came in like a setting like this or whatever, and I went and told my life story in front of DJ E-Man, the whole Power 106 staff, and they were like, yo, we gonna get this record a shot. And the record got a shot, and it was the number one record. Like, it was in Power Rotation, number one in LA before I ever had a record deal. And that prompted me to get my label deal with Epic Records. Then from there, like, I had Sexy Can I, but I had the business first with my artist Cash at the time, and I love that record. Like, yeah. I'm like, yo, yeah. It's gonna classic. Be like one of them yeah. ones. Yeah, like, yeah, this yeah. shit is out of here. The label wanted me to do Sexy Can I, and like, I was like, bro, like, I'm about to be the sexiest nigga in fucking America. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, from Sexy Lady to Sexy Can I. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, no. And long story short, I think Charlie Walker was the president of the company at the time. He bought me a chain. I'm like, yo, he like, what do you need to do this record? I'm like, I want an Epic Record chain. You got to call Jason the Jeweler right now and buy me a chain. Went and bought me the chain. So shit, from fucking from the Lowe's Hotel to Wet Willie's, we walked down the street and I wrote the verses to fucking Sexy Can I, and then went and did the song in Miami and was done with it.
So very few artists have two careers. Mm-hmm. I feel like you had three.
Yeah.
Because when did Hitmaker start?
I ain't had no hits. That's what was crazy. It was really a ballsy move. Like, I was in Miami and like trying to find my way, and like I was just writing records, and this is like prior to me working with Tamar, doing the one for her on her album, Love and War, and shit like that. And I was just in the studio with my guy, Jordan Hollywood, just making hooks or whatever. Because I realized in Miami that my shit was still hot. They just didn't want it from me. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And it fucked me up, because it's like, man, I ain't no ugly nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't no light. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm still like dealing with beautiful women. Like, I was still living a rapper life, but it's just like, with the internet come in and all the other shit, like, they just didn't want it from me. You. Me working with Nicki and all this shit, like, I'm literally doing Nicki album while we shooting Love and Hip Hop at the same time. Like, okay. Love and Hip Hop was like a guilty pleasure, you know what I'm saying? For a lot of people, it was still early on, and it was real people that was like, you could see in real time. So with me turning Hitmaker, I probably think it was like 2012. And I just said it. Like, I was just like, Hitmaker.
Who's that on that drop, by the way?
Me.
As you.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Continue.
Look, he ain't got to pay nobody on his records. Come on.
Yeah. I did it for DJ Infamous first. Like,
what time for Infamous?
Yeah. I just seen Infamous last night.
He had a record that went crazy called Double Cup with Double him, Ludacris, Juicy J. I was on the hook and Jeezy. And fucking,
I was at the shoot.
That
actually
was the first time I said it, like, publicly and shit. I was like, fuck it. I'm just riding out with this. I'm a Hitmaker. And it just happened organically. But in the end, Love and Hip Hop continues on. So go ahead. What's the question?
You know, that was just an era. Like you said, it was a part of, you know, that was when Golden Love and Hip Hop was really good. Like, everybody was locked in. They was doing watch parties and all that stuff. And you were a part of that. I was just asking about your experience in that time.
Did you like it? Yeah.
So from that time, I'm living here in Atlanta. So I stayed Hitmaker in Miami. I moved to Atlanta. That's how I was able to do the record with Infamous. And I'm just moving around out here. And I just felt like it was like super clicky. You know what I'm saying? Which it still probably is, like Polo and them be over here and Tricky and them over here or whatever. And T-Pain is all the way over there. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just in the middle, like, trying to make some shit happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm like, fuck it. I'm moving back to L.A. And I moved back to L.A. And the girl Hazel, she kind of came to me like, yo, we doing Love and Hip Hop. Ray J's on it. At that point, I ain't talked to Ray J or none of these people, whatever, in so long. Oh. And she like, yo, such and such, such and such. And me and Hazel was cool because I known her since I was young Berg or whatever. So it was never like a dating situation or nothing like that. We was just cool. And she brought it to the table. Like, yo, like, I'm your home girl. This what's up, blah, blah, blah. So we did it. And then the cameras just start. I mean, once it all came to the table, it was mad. It was very interesting because, like.
So y'all weren't a couple on the show?
I'm going to break it down. Oh. So once it all came to the table, it was mad interesting because, like, when the cast kind of assembled, like, we all assembled, like, I think we were in Santa Monica, like, for, like, a meet to just to see everybody, whatever. And, like, I've been with, like, multiple girls that was on the cast.
Yeah.
So, like, it was very weird to me. I slept with, not been in a relationship.
Before the season started.
Oh, damn.
This LA shit. Like, I lived in, I'm Young Berg in LA. Like, all these people are people that were
so, you know,
that.
Things happen. Yeah.
So, you had to tell the producers, like, hey,
in
man.
My past life. Like, you know what I'm saying?
That's your past life.
You like, so,
they kind of like, it was just weird. And Mona was like, so, Berg, who have you? Da, 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 da. And I'm like, her, you know, I used to, like, it was just weird. It was just bad. So, we get on it.
I mean, there wasn't a lot of ladies on that season.
Well, to be honest, when we initially started the season, I was dating somebody else. And out of respect for whatever she dealing with right now, whatever and got going on, I ain't going to say her name. But I was dating. I was in a whole relationship with another girl.
Who that was on the show.
Yeah, that's a very popular girl right now. Mm-hmm. So, we were dating and like it was weird for us, you know what I'm saying? And like I was trying to like get used to what was going on. It was like super weird. And I remember I went to Miami to work with Diddy on an album that he was working on around that time. And I came back and Mona fired her off the show. Like, so look, I come back. This is what's so crazy. I come back from Miami and they pick you up. You know, they don't like at that point, like they come pick you up in like a minivan or some shit and they got Ciroc or whatever. And like you go and get in the minivan and they tell you what to wear. They like, yo, wear like shorts and a T-shirt and blah, blah, blah. So I'm thinking I'm finna go play basketball with like Soulja Boy and one of these niggas or somebody, Omarion. I'm drinking in the van. We get there and we at Hazel House. Mm. And, at that point, I was like, damn, what is this? You know, like, because I was dating the other person that was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yo, I'm not doing a scene. Like, I'm not doing this. Like, this shit lame. Like, y'all trying to make me look like I'm two-timing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, blah, blah, blah. And Mona just appeared out of thin air like Cruella DeVille. Like, Berg,
you hey, might. Let me talk to you.
You might Stevie J of Loving Hip Hop Hollywood. And I'm just like, yo, whatever. And then.
Whatever.
They told me that they end up firing the girl that I was dating. And because we had kind of fell out that weekend, like I went out that weekend and me and her fell out, like broke up. Mm-hmm. And then they told me to fire her. And then she was just like, yo, you got to do this. And at that point, nobody knew like me as hitmaker, anything I had going on. So I wanted the exposure because Nicki and Diddy and different people that I was working with were perfectly fine with me saying that I was working with them currently on the show. So that was kind of like the piece of the situation that I was trying to hold on to. And then shit. I walked in there and they just turned on me and Hazel E relationship. Now, mind you, I'm not saying nothing wrong about Hazel E because in hindsight, I do still have a lot of love for Hazel E. Like a lot of different things happened. I know that was a traumatic period of her life or whatever. And like we were all young trying to figure it out. And, you know, like I'm not finna be the person that's talking down on her or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like I dealt with her before, you know what I'm saying? Like, but we wasn't into like a deep rooted relationship to where it is, but the alcohol, the cameras, and just what the show does, because what they don't tell you is that you don't get paid unless you win a show. I can't speak for her. So I know what my motive was, you know what I'm saying? Like, so me turning up and doing all this other shit is just like, yo, I'm doing all this stuff. I'm not getting paid. And like, I just look back at that time and like, I really am truly embarrassed by the shit. Cause this is like, man, like people still are attached to that and still carrying that. And I'm a whole different person in my career, mm-hmm. a whole nother nigga. But a lot of things that happen in that situation, people will attach it to it and be like, oh, well, and to me, it's like it's 10 years ago. You know, it's a decade ago. But
I feel you.
I got love for Hazel E. You know what I'm saying? I got love for all those different people. And, you know, like, I just hate what the show does to people. It kind of puts you in a mix of having to continue to do it. And I'm just grateful to be out. And I'm wishing nothing but love and light to all of them.
We'll be right back.
Stay tuned
with more of the Baller Alert Show.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
L-A-S-I-K. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
You're listening to a special edition of the Baller Alert Show.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Hitmaker in the building, man. They want to know who do the tag and shit. Hitmaker! Ball Alert.
I got a question for you. I'm a big mental health person, and I asked everyone that we interview. You seem like you're in a very stable mental space right now. Do you talk to somebody? Do you get counseling? Do you go to therapy? Or is that just something, that's just how you are?
I'm not per se in therapy. I talk to people, and I got different people that I can lean on, and I really respect their opinion. But I just think that I've just been doing a lot of self-reflecting. You know what I'm saying? Like, what did I do wrong in this situation? Where did I play a part in this shit? You know, like, what could have changed and made better? And like, I think it's all functioning off ego and just like wanting something to prove. Like, a lot of shit you gotta remember, like trials and tribulations and shit that I went through. Like, I always felt like I was overly talented, that I was working harder than a lot of different people, and I had that chip on my shoulder, like, you know, because of trials and tribulations that happen when I'm a young bird, or things that might have happened on Love and Hip Hop. I'm still carrying that type of baggage with me because people are not looking at me for who I feel like I am. But once I learned that I can't, it's gonna do me better to not be on Instagram looking at the comments, being like, how the fuck you niggas don't know? How we sitting here, how y'all talking about love or money versus money? And I'm young, bro. I've been getting money for so, like, I've been successful for a long time. It's like, I've sold 150 million records as Hitmaker, you know what I'm saying? So wanting to overly try and prove it, like, you know what I'm saying, and do all this other different stuff, it's like, man, when you really at a good space and just knowing, like, man, shit, as long as the people around me happy, and I'm providing for the people that's around me and my team, and I'm building, and I'm still going this way, and I'm going up, then I can't really worry about all the bullshit that's going that way.
Do you feel like that you finally getting, like, your flowers being Hitmaker?
Is it Hitmaker or Hitmaker?
Hitmaker.
Hitmaker.
Yeah.
Maker.
For sure. I mean, I ain't really worried about flowers no more. Like, last year, I won Producer of the Year at the BET Awards. Mm-hmm. We here again. I'm nominated again. Like, I don't really care about that. I've been nominated for a Grammy like 15 times. Like, all that flowers and shit, like, it's just like you searching for acceptance. You want people to be like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I respect what you do. Like, when you look up, you know, when I get my flowers, like, right now, that they'll be like, like, I consciously made an effort. Like, I remember, like, people gonna find a tweet and look at it at some day, like, where I was like, man, I'm about to flip every song I grew up with on 106 and Park and be the Puff Daddy of this generation and bring this sound back and bring all these different shits back. I did it so much, and I did it so well that people found it, like, as a cheat code, it's infected the whole culture right now. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, niggas that don't even know the songs that they flipping is flipping songs because they feel like, yo, let me go get this old song or whatever. But I really learned that from the niggas that came before me, the JDs, the No IDs, the Kanyes. It's just a different era of this shit.
So like sampling.
Yeah, bro. Like, I ain't gonna lie, I don't work with everybody. Like, I'm super like fulfilled. My next step is just to break all the new artists, you know what I'm saying? And offer the opportunity and all the game that I've kind of then been able to absorb over my career to the next motherfucker, for real.
Now, you really excited about breaking new artists? Because I feel like it's so hard to break new artists now.
Man, that's what I was attempting to do with the prior situation that we spoke on, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Because when I bumped into her and we started working together, it was more so like, yo, she has a cult following, I want to take this more mainstream. We had number one records together, you know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. I know it's capable, but I want to take somebody. I think that it's a different level to where, like, Mike Will, you know what I'm saying? He got that look. He broke Ray Shremmer, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. it's certain different people that broke different artists, and I'm always searching for that. I think that's the last piece of the puzzle for my career.
I seen a tweet that Bow was talking about. Uh-huh. He got a record out with Chris Brown. Yeah. You know what that's looking like? Because you commented on it, you was like, "Yeah,
it's one of them ones.
It's a hit maker record."
Yeah, it is. Shout out to Bow Wow. Shout out to CB. You know, Bow, my bro, and then me and CB. Like, I ain't gonna lie, like, when we sit back and we talk or whatever, because we talk, you know what I'm saying? Like, we speak and it's more so music. I'm just sending them music or whatever. We sharing mm-hmm. ideas and being collaborative. But in the moments that we do get to sit down and really talk, like, man, like, we both got a lot of respect and love for each other. Like, we've done a lot, man. I ain't gonna lie. Like, we've done a lot of fucking records together, you know what I'm saying? And he's helped to really take my career to another level too. So I'm always gonna show mad love and respect. And like, man, like, I'm excited for Bow, cause shit, Bow, okay, ain't no telling like what happened when you catch a CB hook.
Yeah.
The whole shit can change all over Thanks. Again. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that Bow ain't legend, but I'm talking about him having a record in motion, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To go back real quick, when we were talking about the breaking records, do you feel like Tink's album did what you wanted as far as sales and the reception of it?
Hell yeah. We did three projects together. So, shit, we fucking...
The one with the purple cover is the one I'm talking about.
That's Pillow Talk.
Okay,
that was like, yeah, so she had her first number one record off that project at radio. So that was like a super success for her, you know what I'm saying? And that was like a good moment. And then right after that, we came back... with another project, and they all sell well and stream well and do well, you know. Like, we did the deals together, so like, I know the level up every time that something happened, you know. So I'm just extremely happy for her to see somebody that from where I'm from, that's, you know what I'm saying, I was instrumental when involved into putting her in the right situations and helping her, you know what I'm saying, receive this shit that she getting.
You feel like she was a step further than where she was before she came to you?
I mean, I think she would say that. I think it's evident. Like, you could just look at, you know what I'm saying, her evolution as an artist, and you could tell that, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's pretty, it's kind of written on the wall. I'm a different person than I was, like, though 3 years ago. So, I mean, it's leveled up together type shit.
Seems like evolution is very key mm-hmm. in your growing mm-hmm. in life.
Well, ultimately, I'm here to be, like, the next L.A. Reid, the next motherfucking... Barry Gordy, like that type of shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what the trajectory of my career is, because I'm great with working with everybody and just coming in and putting my sauce on these different situations and turning them up. And I really want to be that. I want to be that for executives, and I want to be the guy that actually makes the music that's inside the building that's telling that. So a lot of people don't know it's going to be my third year being vice president of A&R for Empire. Prior to that, I worked for 4 years at Atlantic Records. Probably sold like 40 million records with Atlantic Records, from able to do Meek Mill's first number one to A Boogie's first number one, Look Back at It, Dangerous, all these different records. So a lot of people don't know that I'm working inside the system. Like, I'm inside out and outside in type shit, because I'm making a record and I'm also the nigga that's inside the building to have that conversation.
Is that your plan for Make a Music, to be
make
a Motown?
Sound. Hell
make a
yeah.
sound, I'm sorry, make a
Hell
sound.
Yeah, like, that's what we on right now. My new album is coming out top of the year, and it's going to be, it's one of them ones.
What's
like,
it going to be like, called?
I don't even know yet.
And are you going to be back
rapping?
I
don't know. I might rap once, maybe twice.
Wait, so know. Wait, so are, wait, is this gonna be like a like a like a Puff album?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, this is like a producer album. Well, it ain't even like a it's done. Like, I mean, shit, I'm 70% done with it.
Okay.
So is Make a Sound a subsidiary to Empire?
Yeah, we got a I got joint ventures with with Empire, and then I also got a joint venture with for my publishing company with APG and Warner Chappell. So like I got a few big deals that's going on, and then I got other artists that I signed to other companies via my company as well. So my hands kind of in everything for real.
Are you signing people to Empire right now?
I can if I want to. If so, I think it's dope.
Yeah.
You didn't sign Young Blue, right?
No, but I work with Young Blue like
excessively. Okay, I was just trying to make sure.
Nah, chill. Blue is my guy, and I think that, that Blue is a great person. I think they did their deal. Boosie and them did their deal. The only thing that I know really, like my introduction to Blue, I ain't gonna lie, I met the nigga Blue in an airport. He was with, I think he's with his manager that with him right now, another guy. He was just like, what's up? And this before he even blew up with Empire or whatever, like, and I was already in my wave, and he was just like, yo, we gonna work together. And I kind of blew the nigga off, like, not, you know, but not blew him off, but like, pause, like, you know how you in the airport and like,
it's just a quick conversation because you got to, you trying to catch your flight. And
yeah, so from there, shit, I came back, and I never forget, I was working with Atlantic, and like, I kind of felt underappreciated Atlantic because I did so much, and I was looking for them to like invest into me as a creative, like, yo, like, okay, cool, I've sold all these records, I'm doing this shit. Y'all kind of reactionary instead of like being like in front of ahead of proactive. The pack with my career, you know what I'm saying? So let me go ahead and try and figure something else. I wanted them to buy me a studio, like similar to how they did for Drama or whatever, or partner up.
You think smart.
Because you got to understand, if Drama, God forbid that they stop doing business together, that's still Drama Studio. And I learned that from Tricky in LA, the same way he had Red Zone and all this other stuff. So I was trying to pattern my career around that. And it just never really came to fruition. And Gazi came in and was like a lifesaver, like at that point, and was like, how much money is going to take to get you out of the situation? I was like, this. He bought me out. And the first record I made when I went to Empire was Baddest with Blue, Chris Brown. And
it's a big record.
That is a big record.
Like, literally the first day we went in the studio at San Francisco, that was the first song we did.
Now, how hard it was to get Chris to do that hook?
It wasn't hard at all. I just was just like, yo, we need to get this done. We need to get this done. Except in the record. When he liked the record and he fucked with you, he did that. He do it. And then from there, he spawned out and bro went on tour with him, and it just opened a lot of different doors for the artists that was in there. And then from there, we did Fireboy Peru with Ed Sheeran. Shout out to my boy Ivory Scott. Then from there, we just went on and did all these
teams. Ivory Scott had great things to say about
you. Yeah, that's my brother. Yeah, I love Ivory Scott. Yeah, I'm executive producer of his album that's coming out soon too. He just dropped his record with Queen Naja. Shout out to Ivory. I'm taking him to the BET Awards with me tomorrow. And I just went crazy in Empire and just did a bust of move. Shout out to Eric Billinger. We just had a real big record that was on Curious that's out right now. The big remix coming too. You know what I'm saying? Top 10 record. I just start busting my move.
And going so back. You're a VP of A&R at Empire. How does an artist get at Hitmaker, or does Hitmaker find you and you not find him?
Both. You know, I just want the shit to be good. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that with the success of certain rappers and just shit that just be happening overnight, or how you would say industry plan or whatever the fuck niggas want to say, everybody just think it's so easy to do this shit now. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I look good, if you're a girl and it's like, I want to rap, like a lot of strippers, dancers, people that my first question be like, do you love this shit? Like, would you stop dancing to go and do a project or whatever and really put the energy into the shit? I just think that everybody thinks it's very easy. So I want this shit to be seasoned when it meet me.
Say less.
So what is Make a Sound looking for if you want to be an artist?
Just work ethic. You know, like how we was sitting here and I'm sitting there holding like myself up to a higher situation. I think that you got to have more work ethic than me. You got to be in that motherfucker like me. You got to be going just as hard as me. Like, I don't sleep. Like, I don't got no personal life. I don't got nothing. My whole life is music, which I'm trying to, like how we said, I'm going to procreate soon, but I'm trying to figure
out. Find you some balance.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure this out here. But I just want somebody that's enthusiastic about doing the work as much as I am, you know, like, I ain't gonna lie, like, I ain't gotta do this shit. Like, I can hang it up, like, for real. Like, recently, help all my people sell portions of their catalog and, you know, do those type of deals that people's talking about. And I did one of those deals myself, and I was just focused on.
Well, you sold some of your catalog?
Yeah. I made the right financial moves. Like, I'm gonna keep it honest. Like, I ain't gotta, like,
how much was it?
I don't like talking about finance.
Oh, okay.
Did you do like a privacy thing for that not to come out?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Because
it's just, otherwise it would have.
I just think that like the next progression of my career is just not move like a nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't stop this. Like, you know what I'm saying? I love this shit. I got $1 million worth of this shit. Hey, on right
I was
now.
Just about to say that.
But
you gonna have to get rid of that now. If you.
But I love this. I'm still an artist. Like, I still love this shit. You know what I'm saying? But I'm transitioning to where, like, I'm gonna put this shit up and give it to somebody else, and y'all gonna see me coming here with the suit on.
Who you gonna give it to?
His potential son.
Just put it in the safe.
Man, you can donate it to us.
He could give it to his potential son.
Yeah, we'll put it in a museum, do something. Yeah,
if you drop one of those on the floor right now before you leave, it's not gonna be, you know.
Shout out to motherfucking, like, a lot of these niggas shit don't really be going like that. Like,
yes.
It's like real, like.
Sound heavy, BT.
Nah, for real.
Real deal, different.
See, he real big in the jury, so.
Yeah.
Whoop. Oh! Damn!
Yes, sir.
Change.
Damn, that shit heavy.
Now, you said you want to give it away. Now, you can always donate it. I can put it in a safe place.
This is heavy.
Yeah.
Bro, that's at least, what, 10
I was
pounds?
Just reading the back of it. It said hit versus tank. I'm just saying.
Wait, what?
Oh, she's talking about on the piece.
That's what the Jesus.
On the Jesus piece. I had this chain.
It says hit versus tank?
Yeah. I pay like motherfucking.
So, you know, I'll pay attention to everything.
I did not see that.
I thought you was joking.
I did not see that.
Wow. I think I pay like close to 200 for this cube, and I had this shit.
200,000?
Yeah, and then on my birthday.
How much for the Flood of Jesus piece?
She put the down payment on, and I paid the over for my birthday, yeah.
How much is all this?
On the drip check.
So you like almost in? Something like that.
Nice. Sheesh.
This little then he proceeds to drink his water.
Well, hit Mega, you so thankful that he stopped by. You got to come back. Or we can pull up in LA or whatever.
Nah,
but,
I gotta go. He in Miami now.
I'm in Miami.
Oh, Miami now.
We come out of Miami.
Okay, how's Miami?
It's beautiful. I got my own studio. I work out.
Oh no, we gonna shoot an episode in your studio. Yeah.
Yes, y'all gotta come there. Y'all can set up, do that. Like, y'all should do a remote and just I'll get y'all to studio for a couple of days and y'all just set up and do y'all thing.
This is a good
say
time.
Hey, Robin, we on the way.
Let's go. Yeah.
We ain't even telling Robin. We just gonna pull up.
Nah, y'all need to come to Miami. I'm show y'all what the vibe like.
Yes, sir.
Oh, say
so album coming.
Top of the year.
Make a sound.
Yep. Shout out to Chris Sean. Shout out to Free Rocky. Shout out to all my people that's involved with the situation, man. Neek Bucks, man. Salute my brother. Man, it's just a whole bunch of us, all the co-producers, co-writers, everybody that's involved with the situation and the team. Like, I'm super proud of y'all. And, like, I ain't gonna lie, like, we got like 8 records at radio right now out of 40.
Woo!
So, like, salute. Let's just keep going, you know?
Well, I think it's only right if you get on the record. So, you know, you got to rap. You got to.
Yeah, you going to do the Atlas for me?
Song.
Sure.
All right, bet. So when we get to Miami and do the next pie, you know, we going to wrap this shit up.
For sure.
she got a publishing stuff, so she going
to. All right. We ain't going to talk about that. Hey, Megan, appreciate you joining the Ball Alert Show.
Hey!
Before we get out of here, though, you got to hit us with a pep talk.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Hit making a building, man. Stay focused. The pep talk for the day is to stay focused, man. Whatever trials and tribulations you may go through, how much it seems like it's not going to change, how dark the day is, just know the sun going to shine tomorrow. So put your ass out there, man. Get on the ground, pause, and go crazy with it.
Baller Alert!
Can't get enough of Baller Alert? Follow us on all social media platforms at Baller Alert. Log on to BallerAlert.com.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.